Thank you, Lord, again for being able to be here today, Lord, and be with these teachers as they study your word, Lord, and be with us that we can be mindful and open to it, Lord, that we can study your word and be closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Little Jefferson Starship this morning. From the Red Octopus album. You guys know the song well, I'm sure, right? If only you believe in miracles, baby, like I do. Miracles. We're going to talk about miracles today. So, Brother Dale, son, sit down.
I'm out.
Did you talk? Oh, I did. He's smiling. Look at him smiling. Where's Clint? He's smiling. All right. So, again, Brother Dale shared with us a scheduling thing. So, we got the end of December, the 1st of January, and then Brother Sean's going to finish out the year. I want to do miracles today. And then I want to do it for fun because we love each other here. I want to spend the next seminary school and the first one in January to analyze Genesis chapter 6, Sons of God. I want to do it openly and together in the same manner that we're going to do miracles. All right. So part of Bible analysis, you know, Brother Doug reminded me, and it is a good thing. I don't downplay somebody reading through the Bible in a year. I try to do that, but then I get distracted with what I'm reading, and then I start studying and chasing that. Studying the Bible is taking a topic and looking into the scripture, what that subject is, what the composition of that discourse is according to the mind of Christ. And so it is using all 66 books of the Bible to see what God is teaching us about a subject. And in this particular case, we're going to look at miracles. So if you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7 here in verse number 9.
If only you believe in miracles, baby, they will
happen. Do you guys still get to talking to people about miracles today? You guys have those conversations? I do.
No,
I do. I mean, there's people out there that believe in these things. We get questions, Brother Alec.
So, yeah, I heard it last week. I didn't correct him because it wasn't the time and place, but yeah.
Why was it not the time and place?
I just didn't want to embarrass him. It was in front of a group of people that didn't know God and everything. And I call them miracles. It doesn't, God doesn't work like that anymore, but I didn't.
Okay.
So through it all.
But it's gets broached, at least in my world, all the time. We talk about it. And when, especially if there's, like, we, you know, we're doing these studies. What if there's somebody that's been in religion for a long time and then they finally see through it and it's like, this is all garbage and they want the truth, but yet they still have all this stuff and they ask questions. What about? You know, and a lot of times it's, well, I've got a family member and they've told me this happened to them. What does the Bible say about that? All right. So Exodus 7, verse number 9. We'll start up here. Brother Jim, could you read that for us, please?
When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a snake, a serpent.
All right, so here is a miracle being requested by the Pharaoh. All right, so I guess my question is, what is a miracle? Okay, I mean, yeah. It goes against nature. It's something that doesn't happen naturally. Okay, instantaneous.
Spontaneous representation of God's miraculous power.
Okay.
We're
converging. It's a sign. It's a wonder. It's an instantaneous demonstration of supernatural power deviating from natural law for the accomplishment of a divine purpose. Why would Pharaoh want Moses to give him a miracle? Think about that divine purpose. What was Moses sent to do?
Preach the word.
Okay, rightly divide. Right, what's part of our context? What do we need to do? Composition of discourse, preceding and following what we're reading. So is there something that was said before that verse that may indicate why Pharaoh would want a miracle? Are we reading before that?
On the mount.
Okay. Verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. I think it was already discussed today. Why is anything happening for any of us? So that we may know the Lord. It's about God. Why would Pharaoh tell Moses, show me a miracle? Because Moses presented himself as a man of God. All right, show me a miracle. What's then the acknowledgement? Miracles are from God. And we're actually going to read a verse that says that. So are miracles of man, are miracles of wonders, just things that happen for whatever reason, no purpose to them at all? No, it's to know that I am the Lord. So we start to build, know that, this is such a waste of time to write this verse.
Actually, a lot of miracles are not of God.
Yeah.
Which ones?
Yeah. Where Pharaoh's. The servants of Pharaoh.
Shit, right after that.
What's going to happen in the tribulation? Call fire. Making an image to speak?
Yeah.
That's pretty miraculous.
Pretty miraculous. Yeah. Of the Lord, of God, for the purpose of God. That's, Brother Sean, you're getting way far ahead of what's we're looking at the purpose of this.
And that's why when you asked the question last night, your miracles current before the
Do miracles exist?
Not by God through man, but
yeah. But what's our combat today? It's not about these things that we read in Revelation. It's about my granddaughter fell out the window and she saw a vision of Jesus there, and she runs and tells her grandma. Now they're in some kind of weird religion because God gave them a miracle. Did God give them a miracle?
No. One of the things we're going to ask. We obviously can go to scriptures and find out when our ability to use miracles went away from God.
Yeah.
Where does it say that Satan stopped his?
Yeah. Oh, he's going to come with.
So there's no work out there today that's miraculous?
Could it come across?
What are things to talk about?
Can we just do the Bible analysis? Get on the screen.
Question. Can you reread the description you gave of what a miracle is, the definition?
I don't know if this is a definition of miracle. Oh. Miracles, biblically, the Hebrews 41:59 is wonder, wonderful, a sign, signal, flag, evidence, supernatural, overpower nature. A description, is an instantaneous demonstration of a supernatural power deviating from natural law for the accomplishment of divine purpose. Now, the reason why I read that.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
The purpose of. What you just said.
Yeah. Or for the purpose of do miracles work for the Lord's people today, as so many other folks caught up in religion trying to draw us away from them because they saw these miracles or they experienced these miracles. And one of the things that can be kind of, it's part of our vernacular and sometimes culturally, and maybe I just draw too hard of a line. And we mentioned Christian. Christian's a hard term to use today. Everything's a Christian. And by the way, I really do distinctly remember high school, 80s, there was a difference between a Catholic and a Christian. I remember that. And now it's all. So what's a miracle today? I'm a music fan and I listen to all kinds of music. And I used to really, I still do like a lot of George Strait stuff, but he has that one song that just bothers me. It bothers me every time it comes on that he had a baby and he saw God's miracle today. Is having a baby a miracle? Do you hear people say that a lot?
It happens every day.
Doesn't it bother the medical? Doesn't that bother you a little bit? A lot. Thank you. Fathers, a lot. What they are not. How about our universe? Keeps that thing in order. It's a miracle. The sun just keeps revolving around this old earth the same way. Conception of a child, growth in the womb, its birth. We had a miracle child. I still hear that all the time. We had a miracle child. What? What was God's design 6,000 years ago for a man and a woman, a husband and wife, replenish the earth, have babies? That's not a miracle. That's an order of God. How about the cycle of water? It is such a miracle that our oceans are still full and our rivers still flow and we still have rain and snow. Well, can any of you guys do that? I'm not talking about the moonshines, the distilleries. That's not what I'm talking about. We can't do those things, but is it a miracle because we can't? We can't make the moon orbit the earth, but it does. It's not a miracle that it does. The process of our plant, the I'm such a simple-minded fool. We're losing. We have too much carbon dioxide that we're emitting. We'll grow more trees then. I don't know. Isn't that what they breathe?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Is that a miracle? The process of the carbon dioxide, the oxygen, the chlorophyll, the turning the leaves green, the process of just sunshine that has vitamins and elements in it, sunshine, photosynthesis. You know, is it a miracle that I can lay my head on the Bible at night and wake up with all knowledge? Moses.
That's so somebody's thinking about like nature. So if we can find explanation for it, there are things that we can find that book of power that we don't understand, but it's still not a miracle.
Yes.
Think of the brother that we've had that go in for surgery and things look really, really bad. They go in and the doctor's like, yeah, it wasn't as bad as we thought. It's completely gone. That's amazing. I can't explain it. I don't know what caused that. I mean, I know it's God.
Yep.
But there's no, oh, scientifically, this is what explained it, but that doesn't make it a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not working for man.
The instantaneous, bam, stick turned into a snake, and down the road we were going to get into, the other guys throwing their sticks down, but they got trumped.
Yeah.
Oh, Trump went back. Aaron's stick ate their stick.
I recently heard this. I cut it off before I even try to cut it off. All the stuff you're describing is the power of God, or making God into the power of God. God does work today.
Yep.
I heard, and this is a direct correctness, heard that, well, God still does miracles, he just doesn't do them through men. No, he does not. God does not. He has the word of God. And he has power, but they are not miracles.
Yeah.
He stays within whatever natural law, however way he does it. It is his in power. What keeps the earth revolving around the sun? It is the power of God.
Wait, whoa, go back. What did you just say?
It is the power of God.
No, before that.
Keeping the earth revolving around the sun?
The earth does what?
It does?
It revolves around the sun.
Okay.
Don't get it messed up. But miracles by God are done away.
And that's back to the Bible analysis. How do we, just like all the other classes, giving the sense distinctly, giving the understanding, how can we share with somebody biblically that these things that they're experiencing or seeing or have seen or heard of, that's not biblical today? Can we share that? Can we show that? And part of it is you got to understand that doctrine as God uses his people, Sister Rhonda. Numbers 14.
Sadly, this is not a debate just amongst religion. I just heard a so-called landmark missionary Baptist deacon proclaim miracles were still in effect today because they were working on a building and the rain came and they only had that day to finish the roof. And they met together in a prayer circle and they prayed. And when they were praying, they felt the warm sun coming out and the rain stopped. And that was a miracle. And he's very clear that he still believes in miracles. And he knew what the Word of God taught about miracles, but he knew that was a miracle. So it's not just religion that this is infiltrating.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's a good point. Let's see what the Bible says, what a miracle is, and how God used the miracles in a church, and then maybe even then apply that. Does that fit the scripture? So Numbers 14, 22, and yeah. I didn't figure it was a roofing up on it. Wasn't going to be Brother Mike. I know it wasn't going to be Brother Mike. Let's see, Brother BJ, if you could read verse 22.
Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice.
All right, so there's God, but verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, and what?
Have not
hearkened. How do they know they should hearken unto the words of the Lord? Because he did miracles among them. He did supernatural things that there was no answer to it except for that God did it. Why was God showing them miracles? To hearken unto the Lord. And what does that really mean?
They heard the word.
Just so bad. Take heed, you know, follow it.
Follow it. Believe it. It's kind of a pattern. What's more important, the miracle or the word?
And that's the point that gets missed in this heresy.
Yes.
Miracles are not or still continue today. It's because it's about the miracle.
Yes.
And when you look in the scriptures, it never was about the miracle. It was about the word of God.
Exactly.
The miracle was confirming.
Exactly. And it's consistent in the New Testament. Judges chapter 6. What's that? I don't hear very well, but I do hear things.
Judges.
Oh, is that what you're picking on my... What is that? Oh, it doesn't, does it?
No.
It's Hebrew.
It's the jail.
I don't have my secretary with me today. Right, honey. That's why I could never find it in the Bible. It's spelled wrong. All right, Judges chapter 6 here, verse 13. Brother Ryan, if you could read that.
Thank you.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
All right, so again, we have heard, and Sister Rhonda brought up the point that we all did. What did Gideon? What was he focusing on?
Miracles.
Miracles. The miracles. And what's Gideon's complaint here?
Yeah.
But now the Lord hath forsaken us. Why? No more miracles. No more miracles. Why did the Lord forsake Israel, or should I say, why did Israel forsake the Lord? They would go to other gods. You guys read Judges? It's a frustrating book to read. But then when I realize I'm that guy, it's frustrating how I live. Do good for a while. Things are looking good. Forget about the Lord. Things start going backwards. I start complaining. Realize, it's because I'm not following the Lord. Get back with the Lord. They quit hearkening unto God. They didn't listen. He said, we have heard. Well, where's the word? We have heard about miracles. There's that Billy Goat. Okay, they forsake, you know, it's a side note. Sometimes maybe it gets thrown at you guys, but I don't need a man to teach me. I don't need a man to lead me. You know, we really don't have to have teachers and pastors because we have the Word of God. Is that how God designed it? Why did he design that there be some sort of shepherd in the stead of Christ throughout all of history?
To stubborn, rebellious people of God.
What happens in Judges when the judge dies?
They go back and they walk away.
They go back. They go back. So is it important for pastors to continually preach and teach the Word of God in guidance and instruction, living it, showing it, encouraging it, reproving, rebuking, exhorting?
Ephesians.
Every wind of doctrine. There's stuff out there all the time. Well, Gideon wanted to see some signs and wonders. What is this? We want to see nature overpowered. So he understood what was needed. Luke 23. How about this? We're familiar with this one. And, you know, we kind of had a short discussion or some thoughts about, you know, and you guys keep trying to trap me into my soapboxes. And, you know, if we're honest, what was the attitude towards the television when it first came out by the conservative right? Mostly the religious, the Christians. You never heard the Paul Harvey thing?
Doesn't know that.
It's the devil's box. It's devilish. But then once it became assimilated into society, it's more accepted. It's not that devilish. And then we move on to movies, the theaters. Oh, it's devil's work. And then God's people started settling down a little bit. We're all going to the movies. And then we got our little handheld computers. And we got social media. And it's the devil's work. And then we get used to it. And now we're assimilated in it. Meanwhile, it's very clear to me that dumbs us down to the things of God. And part of that dumbing down is we seek entertainment. I want to be entertained. I can't sit down and read the Bible for 15 minutes because it's boring. It's boring. Well, it's boring because we've conditioned our mind to have so much stimulation all the time of joy and entertainment, fantasy world, things that aren't real, that when we get into reality, we can't handle it. It's just meh. And so we got to change our mind. Well, you know, 2,000 years ago, some guy was looking for some entertainment here. Jack, if you could read verse number 8.
What?
Luke 23, verse 8. Did I not write it down?
No.
And when Herod saw Jesus, and he was exceeding glad, for he was disturbed. He's curious to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hopes to have seen some miracles and done by him.
Is that what we're looking for today? Is some fantastic supernatural instantaneous deviation of reality? I want to see some miracles. Well, that's not why God put them out there. This miracle here is a sign. It's a supernatural sign. And so we're analyzing and we're building a case here, if you will. Know that I am Lord. Hearken unto the Lord. We have heard, but where's the Word of God? Now we're completely to, I don't even care about the Word of God. I just want to see some fantastic stuff. And I think you look in the Gospels there and you have scenarios where folks were following Christ, not because of the Word, because they might see something fantastic. But at the same time, there's confession. They knew who Jesus was, at least from an intellectual, carnal standpoint, that this had to be God, because nobody does this stuff. Nobody does this stuff except for God. So look over here to Acts chapter 22. And again, so we're emphasizing, you know, so far it's God doing the miracles. So even today, when we have folks that are religious and they want to get caught up into this feeling, it's really all about them. It's, you know, they may mention God, but it's about them and my experience and what I've seen, what happened to somebody else, or the fantastic, you know, one of the questions we get is, well, what does God say about death? Because I died on the operating table, but God let me come back. And this is what I saw. Is that real? Huh?
I had somebody say they see I saw darkness, so God's not real. And I was like, what are you talking
about? Yeah. So does the Bible reveal that that's what happens to us? You know, we go in there and we see we're dead and we see heaven. And then God says, well, not quite yet. Go on back. I think that's just imagination. Right. You know, it's just our imaginations again because of all the stuff. Let's see, Brother Scott, verse 22.
Acts 2.
Oh,
no. Oh boy, did I say something wrong again?
22. Did I write it down?
Well,
it's okay. We know this one. A man of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know.
Yourselves know. So the behavior of Jesus doing the miracles, was that in a corner? Was that in the shadows? I think we go to John chapter 2. His glory was manifested with the miracles. They knew who he was. But what happens when we go to John chapter 3? And then we have somebody that is evidently seeking God and his truth. Although, maybe showcasing a little fear, a little lack of faith, a little humanism, you know, sneaking around at night. But it seems like a religious man was seeking after truth. Brother Doug, chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, if you will.
There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.
So, thank you. Was Nicodemus calling him the miracle worker of God?
Teacher.
So Nicodemus knew the role of Jesus. Who was Jesus? Teacher. Nicodemus recognized, well, actually, many, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. I know we can get all cliche-ish with this and everything. Was that hard for him to say? I don't know. But when you confess such a thing as that, man, there's some accountability for that. You know he's a teacher. So what's a teacher? One that gives distinctly the understanding of God's word in giving the understanding. Whose word? God's word. What should you be doing with that teaching? Hearken and do it. And the proof was, because no man can do these miracles except God be with you. So that's really all that in a nutshell, Mark 16. It's all in a nutshell, confessed by religious, the purpose of Jesus working the miracles was to confirm that he is a teacher from God.
Emmanuel.
Okay. So are we building a case for what the purpose of miracles is so far, even all the way back to Moses? How do they know that God sent me? How do they know that God sent me? Was Moses just to be an actor and just perform things? Or did God give Moses a commandment to teach the people? How will they know that you sent me? I'm going to allow you to do things that are supernatural. Yes, Satan's going to mimic and imitate, but ultimately, who wins that battle? God wins the battle. And the miracles and the signs continued in the wilderness, as we were told. He kept showing them, it's my commandment, it's from God. Look at what's going on. So that's the purpose. That's what a miracle is. And we'll look more specifically at that purpose. But that's what a miracle is. It's God in God's will working through God's people to show the word of God, because that's what's important to us, to follow the word. It's magnified above his name. It tells us who God is, why, and then the purpose, our promises, and how we are to walk to be approved of God. He used those miracles, but it was based on the word. And so that's where it's going to eventually lead us into. Well, then, at some point, we're not going to need the miracles anymore because we have the word. We have it.
Well, I mean, even the chief priests and the Pharisees knew how dangerous the miracles were for their seat. I mean, I don't know if you're going, are you going to John 11?
No, but you can.
Okay. Well, John 11, over in verse 47, said, yeah. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So they plan to kill Jesus. Solely because what he was doing was drawing people
to God. For sure. And let's be fair. There was some he was drawing because of entertainment, but what was he teaching them? The truth. And what was it then manifesting about these Pharisees? They're not in the truth. And they were more concerned about their position in life and about their nation, all that. Look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a miraculous faculty, if you will, or the ability to perform these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 28, or not 28, verse chapter 12, verse 28. Who's next over there? Brother Josh, give me that one.
And God has set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of feelings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're not going to belabor this part. If I get to it next weekend for a little bit, maybe, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 explains the problems with these miracles at verse chapter 13. And now abideth, there is a fading, there's a failing, there's a vanishing, because there's purpose. But where did he put miracles? What happens if there's miracles outside of a church? They're not of God. What about 2,000 years ago?
Same thing.
Same, there's not of God. And so if there's no miracles in the church, and Brother Dale has wrote read letters to us of old brethren in the second, third century, I believe, or maybe even in the first century, definitely the second century, confessing, I don't see any miracles. Nobody's doing them. And I know these people. So it's confirmed that when the scripture was complete for us, the unity of the scripture, when it's all together here, the mind of Christ and the way God wanted us to have it, John 20, no more miracles. Now it's by the Holy Spirit as comforter in, through, and by a New Testament church, we preach the word, the Spirit of God pierces into the souls of the hearer. And that's how it's confirmed. And that's why we talk about, listen, you got to know what a conviction is. You got to know what a draw is. You got to know what the Spirit does to the inside, why you're uncomfortable, why you're upset, why you're joyous. There's reasons why. Because I can't throw a stick down and cause it to slither away as a snake. I can't do that. So we're going to have to trust through this Holy Spirit and the truth of the scripture. But the miracles were put in a church. So anything outside of a church is not a miracle of God. So then we have to go, well, then what is it? It's of Satan. It's of Satan. Listen, Brother Hunter's not here. I've been in the woods in the middle of the night. And I love to pick on my brother Christian. Christian unloads his pistol to make sure everybody knows where he's at. And I got to be honest with you. You know, when the daylight's gone away and you got a bum knee and you're worried about that next stick and you're walking real gingerly and it just keeps getting darker and you see little flashes and little things with your eyes, maybe I'm a little dehydrated. Maybe I haven't drank enough. Maybe I haven't eaten enough. But it certainly isn't an orb. It's not chupacabra coming to eat my kids. It's not Yeti. Ain't no Sasquatch out there. I know Brother Ryan would have that thing mounted on his house if there was Sasquatch. Caleb, what is it? How far? Far. Tell me that's not truth, Brother Sean. You'd have dropped him, too. I know you guys.
Never seen one?
I thought I did one time. I'm not going to throw him under a bus. But the way he was walking, evidently there was an issue that he needed to get somewhere fast. Man, if there was ever a Sasquatch, that was him. You know, if our mind wants it to be like that, we're going to find a way to make it up in our imagination. And that's most of what happens. You fall out of a window and see Christ? No, you suffered a traumatic brain injury. It's called a concussion. And you're going to see things. Anybody ever been concussed and not knocked out? You see the cartoons of the little birdies run? I've been there, man. I see twinkles all the time. My dad went to an eye doctor, and he says, you got holes in your eyes, and that's from getting hit in the head. And every time I hit my head that hard and I see the little, I always think about my eyes are starting to pop little holes out. I'm not seeing things. That's not little miracles. If I get hit hard enough and the light shines bright and then it goes dark, I got concussed and I was knocked unconscious. That's all it is. You know, we had a scenario where I'm going 60 miles an hour down a frozen highway and there is nobody around me. Nobody around me. And we crest over Ship Creek. And when I come back down the other side, all I see is blue and reds. And three lanes of traffic stopped and cars in the ditch. And all I remember saying is, kids, hold on. This is going to hurt. And we went off into the hard packed snow of the ditch. I hit the throttle. And four cars later, we came out on the other side and we rolled slowly to our exit and continued off to our basketball tournament.
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle. No? Do I believe in guardian angels? For sure. A miracle? No. That was not a miracle. I'm not going to claim that that was a miraculous situation that happened there. You give God glory. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. It could have been bad.
Power of God.
It was the power of God, but not a miracle. Okay, well, miracle was I didn't mess my britches. That's it. No. Not even that's a miracle. All right, real quick. John chapter 2, verse 11. Austin remembers that because, I mean, he was pretty quiet that day. He was pretty quiet that day. Yeah. Pardon me?
Yeah,
that started then. That was the start. Yeah. John chapter 2 here, verse 11. Brother Jacob, if you can read that.
Did any miracle through Jesus manifested forth his glory and disciples believed God?
All right, so now then, getting really specific with the purpose. What happened when Jesus performed the miracle?
Manifested his glory.
Okay, manifested his glory. It started to put the spotlight, Jesus Christ. He's the man. What did it do for his disciples? They got saved. How about strengthening their faith? Okay, their faith in what? Okay, Jesus is the word. Strengthening the faith in Jesus is the teacher. Jesus bringing doctrine. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is showing. What's that?
He's the one we've been looking for.
He's the Messiah. He's the deliverer of the Christ, Brother Daniel.
Find what you brought out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12:28. Well, you just read a whole bunch of your Old Testament. How is this the beginning? It's the beginning inside the New Testament church.
The New Testament church. Yeah, absolutely. Because what was Jesus there to do? Satisfy the law and to bring in that New Testament. That what is it in the Reformation? All right. Was that it? Reformation? Who followed me in the Reformation?
Regeneration.
The regeneration. Reformation. That's Luther. That's Luther. Yeah. There you go. I knew it didn't sound right. Mark chapter 2. Last one here. Mark chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Brother Reagan.
Mark 2, 10, 11.
Yeah, do you have your blue light glasses on? I don't know if you can. Okay.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.
All right, what was this purpose here? He performed a miracle, but what's the lesson? Okay. He's Christ. He is Messiah. He forgives sins.
All
right?
The denial of all the Jews is that he was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's God. He's the deliverer. What?
Hebrews 9:10, the back of your statement.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just that which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation.
Oh, there we go. I knew it was in there somewhere. Reformation.
Same as the generation. I got your back.
So much. I do. I love you. Because sometimes, I don't know what's, you know, there are little voices and things. And so anyways, it's okay, Brother Alex.
Oh, I got a question.
Okay, ask it. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Walmart. Ask it.
Okay, so this is real quick. Everybody that Jesus healed, and, you know, miracles are, did they get saved and they're also healed? I mean, I believe that, but the Bible, like, for instance, okay, so the one I'm thinking of, the woman of Valencia, the 12 years.
Yeah.
She went, she touched the hem of his garment, she believed, and he said, by faith I made thee whole. I believe she truly did got saved, but I also believe that her blood condition was healed.
Yeah.
So is when that happened with every single person that
the 10
I don't know. There you go. The 10 lepers. There,
and the blind man was healed before he got saved.
Yes.
He came right. back. Jesus came back to him, and that when he got saved.
Yes. And then we clearly see others are saved because of their faith. They sought after Christ because they knew he had power. But I didn't. Yeah.
How did Jairus' daughter get saved? She was dead.
Yeah. She was dead. You guys, it's awesome to see.
What about the person who he said, thy sins are forgiven? Were they saved when he said that?
Are they? Sins are forgiven.
That makes it sound like he just saved them right then and there.
What cause? How do you get saved?
By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Okay, confessing the Lord, believing in the heart, God raising from the dead. What about 2 Corinthians 7:10? Godly sorrow. What's a godly sorrow? Guilt, godly sorrow worketh repentance, guilty because of your
sins.
Then you repent, and the repenting is turning to, because what did Christ do? Forgave you of your sins. Did he get saved?
Yep.
Okay. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus got saved when he gave back to the people he stole from.
No.
I saw Brother Jacob.
And he's not
honest. I know.
That was the power of showing us.
There you go. Today, salvation. I mean, you got saved that day, and then confess is what I'm going to do because of that salvation. All right, so, yes, we didn't get through a whole lot, but I think the next two seminary schools, we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God. I'm gonna bring some stuff. Y'all bring everything. Teach me. Who are the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6? Okay. It's important that we understand, that we take away the emotions and our intellect and just bring what the Bible says. That's it. Just bring what the Bible teaches on there. All right. Any other comments, questions? Let's all stand. Any prayers? Any of that stuff? Nothing?